Please turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of Ephesians. We'll be in verses 14 through 21 this morning, Lord willing. How's everybody doing? All mellowed out from that really wonderful song. I mean, it takes me back, I tell you. Just like Ken was saying, it takes me all the way back to youth group when I was a young person. It's such a mellow song, but today we read about this prayer that Paul had for the Gentile Ephesians. You know, he had been talking about how they were a new humanity. They were saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest they should boast. He talked about the endless resources they have as Christians because of God, because of the grace of God. He's talked about how they are brand new people that are built together like a living temple with Jesus as the cornerstone being lifted up into heaven. He's talked about all that stuff. And he's talked about how they were once far away, but now have been brought near by grace. And so today what he's talking about, he's praying for them that they would be strengthened in their inner man, their inner being. And so this strength is so that they would have a fullness of God, that they would be filled up with the fullness of God. So why don't you stand with me as we read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And we're going to see how we can be filled up today with the same grace that they had. The Bible says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. When someone you know is praying for strength, what do you normally think? What comes to mind? When someone's praying for strength, what comes to mind? Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe the person's depression is something that I've been hearing about a lot. People battling depression, young people battling depression. I saw an article not too long ago, or maybe it was a Facebook post or something, that there's a ship, and I want you to be praying for the ship. I won't tell you the name of the ship, but there's a ship, a Navy ship, that is going through a really hard time. Several of their sailors have committed suicide because they're having a hard time dealing with what's going on that ship. And so they're praying for strength. We don't always pray for strength just for when we're going through a hard time, which kind of left me a little nonplussed this week. I was trying to understand this passage, because Paul's praying for strength not because the children or the Ephesians are going through a hard time, but he's praying for strength for them so that they would have a deeper relationship with the Lord, that they would be filled up with the fullness of God. But then it hit me what Paul was really talking about. I thought about the evolution of the microprocessor. Okay, now this is something it's in Kerry Kress's ballpark, so he might take umbrage with what I'm about to say. And Kerry, if you can hear me, just feel free to come on out here and correct me. But back in the early 70s, the microprocessor was just this little chip, and all it could do was run a calculator. But last November, the microchip or microprocessor enjoyed its 50th birthday last November. So in 50 years, several upgrades to these microprocessors empowered far greater applications than calculators. Now it's found in all sorts of applications: your phone, your car, your security system at home if you have one. Lots of things have microprocessors. And so what does that have to do with strength? Well, these microprocessors have become more powerful since the 70s. And so Paul is praying for strength, for more power for these Christians in Ephesus, so that their relationship with the Lord would become greater and greater and greater. Are you with me? So the challenge that I hope that we take from this message today is that the Lord would empower us in some way, that he would strengthen us in some way, that our relationship with the Lord would become deeper and stronger and more meaningful and more fulfilling, not only to you, but for all of us. So the main idea is that God, he is the source of strength for our souls, for the purpose of being filled with the fullness of God. And so we should look to God, trusting in him to strengthen us. When we have that strength in him, church, when we have that fulfillment, when we are fulfilled in God as Christians, and he gives us that strength in our hearts to have a greater relationship with him, then it causes us to be able to become stronger in other areas. You know, the relationship we have with the Lord will carry us through hard times and depression. It'll carry us through all sorts of mental challenges. But when we don't have a relationship with him that's really fulfilling and that's alive and that's real, then when we go through hard times, we're going to feel like we're alone. Do you understand that? If we feel like God's not there, then we're going to feel like we're going through our struggles all alone. And then we're going to have a hard time mentally. We're going to have a hard time emotionally, like those young people on that ship and elsewhere. So I definitely pray that when we leave here today, that the Lord will have strengthened us in our inner being, so that we'll have we'll be filled with the fullness of God, so that we can handle those hard times. Are you with me? Okay. All right, so there's three reasons why we look to God for strength. The first reason is that because he is the source of all things. God is the source of everything. Paul writes in verse 15 that from God the Father, every family on earth and in heaven derives its name. And so scholars, they debate whether this verse was only talking about the kingdom of God or whether it was talking about the whole world. I'm not going to offer an opinion on it, but I'm going to point out something to you. Hopefully, for those of you who are going through the reading, through the Bible in 1 year reading, we're in 1 Chronicles right now. We're actually, I think, in the 6th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And so lots of names, lots of genealogy. But the big thing about it is that all of those people that we're reading about in 1 Chronicles right now all stemmed from one person, Adam. And Adam was put on earth by one person, and that's God. God the Father is the Father of not only his people, the Christians, but he's the Father of all creation. And something else that hit me too, and this is sort of a bonus, just write this down on your notes somewhere. It's not a part of the sermon, but it's just something I want you to take with you. All those people that are listed in Chronicles that we're reading about, all of those people were people that God put there. And he was about the details. God cares about the details so much that all these people that you'll never hear about anywhere else except in those genealogies, you know, those are people that God put there. And God loved them, and he put them, and they're in the Bible. You know, it encourages me, because if the Lord was cared enough to put this name that has nothing to do with your salvation in this book, then what does he think about your name? Right? He loves you. You mean as much to him as anybody else is in the scripture. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. That's not part of the sermon, but So he's the Father of all humanity, but because he's the Father of this whole world, because every family on earth derives its name from God, there's a common grace that he extends to every creature. From the time Noah walked off the ark to in Mount Ararat to this very day, we have rain for the crops. You know, we have sunshine for the crops. And no matter how evil people are, they all bear the image of God on their face and in their person. Because of God being the Father of all, people who don't know the Lord are able to love. Did you know that? People that don't know the Lord are able to have love for one for another. And so since we're Christians, we should be even more loving, because we not only bear his image, but we are his children. We are his children through Jesus. We are united in him. So we should be the standard bearers of love. Paul understood God the Father's role in the universe, and he responded to him by kneeling. Now, like Paul, our attitude should be one of respect. When we go before the Lord, not only when we come into his house, but when we go before the Lord, there should be an attitude of respect that we have towards him. Does this mean that we have to kneel? Well, that depends on the attitude of our hearts. That depends on what the Lord's talking to us about. Jesus spoke about two people praying in the temple. One was a Pharisee who stood and said, among many things, you know, "I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector over here. Thank you for making me who I am and not like this person." And then the tax collector also stood before the Lord, beating his chest and saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." So they stood before the Lord. But Paul was overwhelmed, I mean, by the awesome majesty that's God. God truly owns this entire world. He truly is high king over all heaven. And from him, all the sustenance we need in life, that's where it comes from. And so Paul was overwhelmed by that idea, and he kneeled before the Lord. But sometimes we kneel before the Lord just because we're just overwhelmed by the things going on around us. Daniel is another example. You might recall our study in Daniel last year, those of us who were here for that. Daniel had a burden for the people of God, and the Lord gave him visions of different things. And in the 8th chapter, verse 17, Daniel was terrified and fell prostrate. But then the angel of the Lord raised him up and strengthened him. You know, the Lord strengthened Daniel for the vision, to understand the vision that God had for him. So even back then, people needed strength to really commune with God and to connect with him and to receive word from him to pass on to other people. And do you know why we need that strength from the Lord? We need that strength from the Lord because we don't have what it takes to connect with the Lord on a way that he wants to give us that information, right? I mean, whether it's Daniel with these visions, or whether it's Paul, you know, realizing that the Lord had everything that he needed and that the church needed. I mean, when they realized the awesome power of that vision and the awesome power of that provision from the Lord, they kneeled before him. But then the Lord strengthened them. And if you will have a correct attitude before the Lord, and you go to him with your needs, and you go to him and you realize that there's something God has for you, but you're not quite sure what it is, the first step you ought to take was to have a correct attitude of reverence before the Lord, respect for him. Whether that's standing or kneeling, it just depends on the situation. It depends on the attitude of your heart. But realizing that he's your source should be enough for you to go to him for strength. Isaiah 40, so not only do we go to him because he's our source, but he's rich towards us. Isaiah 45:3 says, "I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord." The Lord, he has good things for you. He has good things for the church. And he has those good things so that we will know that he is the Lord. He's really saying it's the same thing in two different ways. He gives us the strength we need. He gives us the provision we need. It comes from him so that we will know that it didn't come from ourselves. It comes from him. What sort of riches does God have? Well, he has wisdom and knowledge. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." His mercy is he's rich in mercy. Ephesians 2:4, we read that 1 or 2 weeks ago. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, his riches meet all our needs. Philippians 4:19, I'm sure you've heard this verse before. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Church, when we get to a place where we feel like we have God in this box, right? We have God in this box, we have our needs in one box, and we have control over that box, then God no longer gets the glory for that. The glory is yours. When our vision is the same as our resources, when it's the same as that box that we have control over, then we get the glory for that, not God. But as soon as our vision exceeds our resources, as soon as the vision that we have for God, and by the way, we're going to see at the end of this study that anything that we can think about or imagine or ask for, God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond that. When our vision exceeds those resources, when our vision exceeds that box that we have God nicely enclosed in, then he gets the glory for that. That we realize that those riches came from him. We realize that glory, his blessing came from him and not from ourselves. That's why Paul prayed for strength for the Ephesian Christians, is so that they would realize that God is their source. So the second reason we look to God for strength is so that we'll have fullness of love, because his power connects us to Christ through his Holy Spirit. Because of God, because we look to God for strength, because we want fullness of love, because his power connects us to Christ through his Holy Spirit. Now, the thing to remember about this, church, is that when we become saved, we can't become more saved, right? When we are redeemed, there's no continuum of redemption. You're not more redeemed today than you were yesterday. You're not more saved today than you were yesterday. But let me ask you a question, and I might be hitting close to home. And I think all of us here can stand to improve in our relationships. But what's your relationship like with your friends right now? What's your relationship like with your family or your wife or your husband or your kids? Could it be better? Could it be better? Could our relationship with the Lord be better? Could our relationship with Jesus be better? Or is it okay the way it is? Is our relationship with our children okay the way it is? Is our relationship with our wives or our husbands okay the way it is? Is our relationship with God okay the way it is? Can anybody really honestly say it's okay? No. We should desire a deeper relationship with the Lord. Not because we want to be more saved. You can't be more saved. But because we are saved. But because we are in a relationship with the Lord that's personal. God is real and alive. You know, I say this every Sunday. Go look at Zephaniah 3:17. If you don't believe me, and this isn't just a New Testament thing I'm talking about. I'm not talking about 60s and 70s hippie kind of love. You know, that's not what I mean, although that's perfectly cool if that's your thing. But what I'm talking about is that God is a real person who really loves you, and he rejoices over you like a mighty warrior, singing over you. Did you know that he's doing that? All the time, around the clock, he's sustaining you all the time. And he's got riches for you. He's got blessings for you, untapped blessings that don't fit in a box. That's what he has for you. And all it takes is time. We don't have to be perfect wives or husbands. We don't have to be perfect children. We don't have to be perfect grandparents. It's time. It's caring. If we care about a relationship with the Lord, we'll spend time with him. If we care about really connecting with him on a personal level, we'll spend time with him. And the Lord will draw us closer to him. And it will bring fulfillment to you like you've never experienced before. Do you believe that to be true? Now, if your thing is mechanical, cold religion, then I don't know. I'm not your minister. That's not my thing. That's not Grace Point's thing. We are here to connect with the Lord on a personal level. verses 16 through 19, we see that the Father initiates a relationship with his people through the Holy Spirit, and he strengthens the believer and through Jesus, who fills us up with his love. So the Father is working through the Holy Spirit, and he's working through Jesus to bring us into this fulfillment. We see the triune Godhead in this passage. In other words, we cannot of our own power draw closer to God. We may think that in our devotion times, in our Bible reading, or our praise and worship, that we're drawing near to God. But really, the truth is that we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, who then flows through these things as we experience closeness with God. So what am I really saying? If we're mechanical in our praise, if we're mechanical in our organ playing, if we're mechanical in our piano playing, but none of it is really, and none of it's really for Him, then we're just being religious. We're just playing church, and there's nothing I hate more than that. There's nothing I hate more than a fake Christian, than a fake religion, a fake church. I just can't stand it. I don't have any patience for it. What I believe the Lord wants for us to do is do these things, but out of relationship with Him, motivated by His Holy Spirit, moved by Him to do those things. And not just in front of people, but to connect with Him every day. That can be hard for us. If our priorities are all over the map and they're not really centered on Him, then it's going to be hard for us to connect with Him on a personal level. But, you know, God is with you. God cares about your job. God cares about your family. God cares about who you are in your kitchen, who you are in your living room. He cares about you. And it's not just when you're doing the things that you're supposed to do. It's all the time. Again, I can't get this out of my mind. It's this, going through this Bible reading, the First Chronicles, it looks like just a bunch of names. Son of, son of, son of, son of, this sister, this mother. It just looks like a bunch of people. But by the time I get through that, or hopefully you feel the same way, is that God cared about all of these people so much that He put them in His scripture. That book was written like 200 years after the children of Israel had come back from being in bondage or being in captivity. And so this person who wrote that book didn't have all of these lists. They were kept by people as history went along. But God moved on people to keep track of those names. And those names are in the Bible. You go to the Bible, you go to the bookstore right now and you order a Bible and you read it, and you'll see all these names that have nothing to do with your salvation. But they were people that God cared about so much that He put them in His Bible. Random people. God cares about, He cared about them, and He cares about you so much that He invests in your life. He gave His Son to you. He put His Holy Spirit in you. He talks to you every day. And because He does that, He wants you to talk to Him and have that relationship with Him. That desire to do that, that desire to have that relationship with Him, it's made possible through the Holy Spirit, who strengthens you and who causes you to dwell with Christ. He causes us to dwell with Him and to have that love, to be fulfilled in Him. It's through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit that we are rooted and grounded in love. So this tells me two things: this love that I'm talking about, this relationship with that I'm talking about, we draw nourishment from it, and it's a foundation for us. Okay? People, I think, and this isn't true for everybody, but I wonder if it's true for everybody. When a person is struggling through depression, I wonder if they think that they have no foundation. I wonder if they think that there's nothing beyond what pain they're in right now. And I think it's true for those young people on that ship who didn't see a future. They didn't see beyond their circumstance. They just saw the pain that they were in right then and there. But with Jesus, We not only are nourished by this love relationship we have with Him, this personal relationship we have with the Lord, is not only our source of nourishment, but it's our foundation. When we feel like the waves are crashing against us, right? His love for us is the foundation we stand on. And all those waves coming against us can never wash that away. You know, that's His word to us that He gave us. He talks about the width and the length and the breadth and the height of His love. Scholars have talked about that this somehow talks about the cross, that it's as long as from eternity to eternity, it's as high as the heavens, it's as low as the pit of hell. It's everywhere. But the reality is that His love for us is everywhere. His love for us is as deep and wide and high and long as Himself. There's no difference between His love for you and Himself. God fills everything, and His love fills everything. It's that vastness of the love that goes in all directions. And it's like the psalmist that asked, "Where can I go from your spirit?" You know, the psalmist says, "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me." God fills everything. His love fills everything. There's no reason for us to suffer in depression. You know, unfortunately we do. We experience it all the time. And my heart goes out to people that are struggling with depression. And it's everywhere. I tell you, it's everywhere. And I just pray that the Lord would strengthen us. I pray that the Lord would strengthen all of us, not only the people that I'm talking to, the people that see us on YouTube, but the people that are connected with us in some way, that they would be encouraged this morning, that they would be strengthened this morning in their inner being, so that we would know the love of Christ, so that we would be fulfilled in the love of Christ that not only nourishes us in every way, but it gives us the foundation. Church, people that are struggling in this area are killing themselves. I'm totally off, and I've struggled with this all week, and I think it's because the Lord wanted me to talk about this today. I think the Lord, so I'm just going to scrap this, and I'm going to tell you what's really on my heart. People are struggling with depression. People are struggling with mental illness. They're struggling with emotional illness, and it doesn't matter where it came from. There's different reasons for it all. But the God we serve is eternal. Do you understand that? His love for us is from eternity to eternity. And the love that He has for us is, it's nourishment for us. It's a relationship that we are to have with Him. And it's the strength that we need. It's the foundation that we need. And the words that Jesus talked about, you know, Jesus said, if my people take these words of mine and live by them, it will be like they built their house on a rock. And the winds came and the rains came, but it was not able to wash that house away. But if people have the words of mine and don't put them into practice, then it was like they built their house on the sand. And the rains came and the winds came and it blew that house down. Now, am I saying that people that are struggling with depression are not pleasing the Lord or not obeying His commands? No, that's not what I'm talking about. What Jesus was really saying is that if you connect with me, if you take these words of mine, and if you connect with me, if you follow me, if you'll just trust me with your life, then you will be building your house on the foundation of my love for you. Do you understand that? I hope you're taking notes, because this isn't on your sheet. It nourishes you. It gives you every kind of strength that you need to be a Christian. What God has for you is everything that you need to have a relationship with Him. And it's the most fulfilling relationship you'll ever have. God will never leave you. He'll never divorce you. He'll never disinherit you. He'll never kick you out of His will. He'll never pretend like you don't exist. Do you understand that? God is always there. And even though in society things change, climate changes, everything is happening around us, and it's crazy, the things that are going on. But this is not a shock for God. What's going on right now in 2022 does not shock the Lord. It shocks Christians. It never ceases to amaze me. You get on social media, you'll see that all these Christians are shocked and shaken by the things that are going on this earth. Or they quit going to church. They quit on God because they think, well, society's quit on God, so I might as well, there must not be anything to this Christian thing. And then so it's a struggle for them. People forget that the Lord can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. He's the source for everything that we have. And because he's the source, because he's the father of all fathers, we are to go to him for strength, for everything that we need for life and godliness. And he sends us, he strengthens us in our inner being so that we can know the Lord in a deeper way, so that we can have that power in our lives that strengthens us, that gives us that nourishment, that gives us that foundation that we need. And all we have to do is ask him. All we have to do is just ask him for that strength. But church, listen. Everything that you can think to ask God for, everything that you can imagine God for, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all of that. So ask him for big things. Ask him for big things for your life. Ask him for big things for your work. Ask him for big things for your business. It's okay. Ask him for big things for your marriage. Ask him for big things for your children. Ask him for big things everywhere. He cares about all those things. He cares about all the details in your life. And he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. Just remember what Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As long as we are centered on God as our source, and we realize that everything that we need comes from his Holy Spirit, and it draws us into a deeper relationship with Jesus, then everything that we think about will change. Your thinking will be transformed. The things that you care about will be transformed. And you'll begin to have an imagination for things that you've never seen before, just because that's what the Lord has for you. And then the Lord does exceedingly abundantly even all that you ask or imagine. You understand? Okay. Amen. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, honor, power, and dominion both now and forever. Amen.